Tonight, as we're going to celebrate, I believe, our study of Acts, and we're going to do a Thanksgiving for 2018. And the momentum of our study tonight, be thankful as Christ was thankful. It was really interesting. I was telling Judith, this will be my 44th or 45th Thanksgiving service to do. And it just is amazing. I've never thought of this one. And we're going to look at the five times when Jesus Christ gave thanks and in his ministry, in his life. So that we are under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's spend a few moments in prayer to prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. How grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the things that the writers of Scripture put down for us, for our edification, our knowledge, as a warning, as a challenge, admonishing us. And Father, we pray tonight your Spirit will open our eyes, that even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was thankful to the Heavenly Father. And if he was thankful, how much more should we be thankful throughout the day? Pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. The other night, Judith and I, or the other day, we were driving through the bank and drive-through, and she had a sign closed on Thanksgiving Day. And I said to her, I said, well, I give thanks every day. Does that mean you're going to close down every day? And she didn't catch it right away, but then she said, ah. Jesus Christ, as God, created the universe, created the earth, created all things that are in it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten of God. The humanity of Christ did a multitude of things. He provided the way of salvation for all mankind by providing the only way that the unclean could be clean, the unrighteous could be righteous, and that is by removing the sin barrier. That's the negative part of the gospel, and providing the imputation of perfect righteousness resulting in justification, the positive side of the gospel. We're to follow him. On Sunday morning at the 9:15 class, we're to love as he loved. And so we're studying spiritual love out of 1 Corinthians 13. We're to pray as he prayed, as John 17. And we're to give thanks as Jesus Christ gave thanks. So we'll spend a few moments tonight looking, not really studying, just highlighting the prayers of Jesus Christ, the thanksgiving of Jesus Christ. First of all, Jesus Christ gave thanks for food. Let's start with John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. Let's start at verse 5. In John chapter 6, therefore Jesus was lifting up his eyes, and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, where will we buy bread so that these may eat? Now, you realize he knows all of these things. He's saying this for the benefit of Philip. Let Philip have the opportunity to say, hey, you're the Son of God, you can do it. But let's see what happened. Verse 6. This he was saying to test him, and people he tests us too, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread, not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive just a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? He bought it for himself. So how's he going to feed 5,000 people when he bought it for himself? Jesus said, have the people sit down. We're getting ready to have a picnic. You're going to eat on the ground. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the people sat down, in numbered about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks. So tomorrow, when you eat, today, tomorrow, every day, I hope that you do give thanks. I just have done it since I was a child. I give thanks. I don't care where I am. The mansion, McDonald's, give thanks. I don't know how many of you saw the movie Blast from the Past. It was really an interesting movie when the primary actor was down in a went into a bomb shelter and was there ever since he was a little boy for about 15 years and came out, and as it would be, they met this girl, and they're at a restaurant in L.A. And they set the food down, and so he just proceeds to pray. Well, everybody in the restaurant standing there looking at this poor guy, and even she's not praying, she's looking at him. What are you doing? And but this is just something you do. And so let's look again, verse 11. Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, so that nothing will be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. So, but the point of which I want you to see is, he gave thanks for food. Now, some parts of the world, they don't have much food. When you don't have much food, you give thanks for it. You give thanks for it. We're abundant with food, and sometimes we just take it for granted. I hope you never reach that point where you just take food for granted. Let's look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 32. And Jesus called the disciples and said to them, I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. There was no fast food joints all around, no food places. The disciples said to him, so then we learn about the compassion of the Lord. We learn about the, remember, love sees the need. That's the first thing you want to remember about love. Love sees the need. He saw the need. They were there to listen to this teaching of the Word of God. They had a need, hunger, physical need. The disciples said to him, where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? Now, the reason we're reading this is a little different than the John's. John said it was Philip. He's just talking to the disciples. So we learn just different perspectives, different emphasis. And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And a few small fish. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke it and started giving it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. Now, 5,000 people. Just if I were making a movie of this, I'd have fun with it. Those on the outer skirts. Well, they'll all be gone by the time they get to us. We're not going to get anything. They're not going to get it because they're sitting all up close. We didn't get here early enough. All those people were in the way. Now we're not going to get anything. Do you know that? We're not going to get anything to eat. Just be quiet. You might get something. Well, sure enough, they got more than they could handle. So, verse 37. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 7 large baskets full. And those who were there were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And sending away the crowds, Jesus got into the boat and came to the region of Megiddon. Now, main thing here is verse 36 for our study tonight, and he gave thanks. Now let's look at Mark. Yes. Yeah.
The other one said 12.
Yeah.
This one says 7 loaves. The other one said 5
yeah.
loaves.
Yeah.
So that's a discrepancy. How do you clarify that so that people...
Well, I wasn't prepared for all of the details of the passage. I know that the 12 is important for the nation of Israel. 7 is important for the church. So that's all I can throw out it right now on that. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 8. Let's see what Mark... I hope he doesn't give us some weird number. All right? Huh? Yes. All right? And 3 days on the cross, all those kind of threes. All right? Mark chapter 8, and let's read from verse 1. In those days when there was a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I feel compassion. Love observes. I feel compassion. Colossians 3:15 or 3:12, we're to have compassion for the Holy Spirit. I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come a great distance. So he's aware of all that's going on. There's a lot in the passage, but we're just looking at it from one main thing. Alright. And the disciples answered him, where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? There was no Walmart. There was no Sam's. There was no grocery stores. There was no Kroger's. There was nothing. Not even a bakery. Okay. And verse 5, and he was asking them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he said, he directed the people to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks and broke them, and started giving it to the disciples to serve them. And they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he ordered these to be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. About 4,000, and now this is the feeding of the 4,000. The other was the feeding of the 5,000. They're two entirely different feedings. Yes, two different feedings. Okay, the main thing, and so, let's see. About 4,000 were there, and he went and he sent them away and immediately entered the boat and went on his way. Now, here it doesn't tell us that he gave thanks, but we had it from the other verses that he did give thanks. Paul follows the same procedure. Look at Acts 27. We'll be in Acts 27 shortly at the rate we're going. All right, Acts 27. And let's read from verse 34. Acts 27, verse 34. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation. For not a hair from the head of any of you will perish. Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. So they're in a boat and getting ready to die, they think. But the point is, he gave thanks for food. Okay, that's the first thing. Second, Jesus Christ gave thanks for answered prayer. How many times do you give thanks to God when he answers a prayer? Jesus Christ set the pattern for us. He gave thanks for answered prayer. Let's look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11.
Not to be funny or no, I want to say, anyhow. When he said he had the fish and he passed it around, you know? I just wondered if they're raw fish, because that sure as hell wouldn't be too damn tasty.
Do what?
If it was raw fish.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be tasty as far as I'd be concerned. I wonder if he cooked it, you know?
Well, the little boy may have had them cooked.
I'm sure they were cooked. They've
been preserved. The
little boy. Huh?
Maybe salted or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm
feeling like sushi.
No sushi for me.
If it had been you, he'd had them cooked. If it had been me, it definitely would have had them cooked. Had them flayed, what do you call it? When they flayed? Okay, he gave thanks for answered prayer. John chapter 11. Let's read from verse 38 in John chapter 11. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. This is raising of Lazarus. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, Lazarus, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So, they removed the stone. I like that. They didn't disagree. Okay, that's what you want. They removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." So he thanked God for the answered prayer. Now verse 43, when he had said these things, the thanksgiving, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He had to say Lazarus. If he had just said come forth, no telling how many dead people would have walked out. All the dead people in there. So he didn't want all of them out. He wanted one. So Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." So the point is that I want you to see in our passage in verse 41, Father, God the Father, that's how we pray, "I thank you." That's all we need to say. "I thank you. I thank you that you heard, have heard me," answered his prayer. Okay, that's the second. First, Jesus Christ prayed thanksgiving for food. Secondly, he said thank you for the answered prayer. The third thanksgiving of Christ. Jesus Christ gave thanks for the cross. Jesus Christ gave thanks for the cross. At the Last Supper, Jesus Christ gave thanks for the bread and wine representing the cross. Let's start with Luke chapter 22. I've refreshed my love of Dr. Luke studying Acts so much, but he has his own style of writing. But Luke chapter 22, and let's begin reading in verse 14 and see what we have. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, and given thanks. See, he gave thanks for the cup and bread represents the crucifixion. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom comes." Verse 19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it, picture of the cross, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, this is after the Passover, saying, "This cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine at the table. For indeed the Son of Man is going to, as it has been determined, but woe to that man whom he is betrayed." Okay, main thing I want you to see is he gave thanks. He gave thanks for the bread. He gave thanks for the cup. Okay, let's look at Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, let's begin reading verse 17. When it was evening, he came with the 12. As they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be grieved, and to say to him, one by one, "Surely not I." And he said to them, "It is the one of the 12, one who dips with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man had he not been born." While they were eating, so the Passover is going on, he took bread, and after blessing it, he calls it blessing here, thanksgiving, blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many. Truly I say to you, I will never drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." So he gave thanks. He thanked for the crucifixion, his own crucifixion. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, that's the giving of thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." So, what I want you to see here is he gave thanks. He gave thanks for the cross work. This is also given in the passage we normally study at communion, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, Jesus Christ gave thanks for food. Jesus Christ gave thanks for answered prayer. Jesus Christ gave thanks for his destiny. We ought to give thanks for food. We certainly ought to give thanks for answered prayer. And we ought to give thanks for our destiny, whether it's good or bad in the human understanding of bad. Finally, this was a little difficult for me to be able to convey to you. I hope you'll be able to follow. Jesus Christ gave thanks by praise to God, his Father, for revealing and concealing. We've studied many times how the Bible reveals and conceals at the same time. It reveals to those who want to see. It conceals to those who want to see law. If you want to see law, grace is concealed. If you want to see grace, you don't see the law at all. So he gives thanks that his will, God's Father's will for him, is revealed and concealed. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we're just going to look at one verse, verse 21. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. People, tonight, tomorrow, when you give thanks, be sure you're in the Spirit. He prayed in the Holy Spirit. We must pray in the Holy Spirit. There'll be a lot of prayers offered tomorrow, I'm sure, around the world. Well, around America. And I wonder how many of them will even get above the ceiling. Only the prayers and the power of the Spirit reach God the Father, people. I'm sorry. And he prayed in the Spirit. So verse 21, at that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, "I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight." So here's Jesus Christ thanking God. He's revealed and concealed. And that may sound a little harsh, but when you study the Word of God and you come to realize those that don't want to see the truth are not going to see it. Those that do not want to see that you're filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, they're not going to see it. I don't care how clearly I make it, how well I word it, they're not going to see it. If somebody doesn't want to believe in salvation, if by simple grace and faith, they're not going to see it. They're not going to see it. They're blinded by religion. They're blinded by their stubbornness, whatever it is. But they're not going to see the grace through faith based on the cross work of Christ. They're just not going to be able to see it. Now, I want to end to a couple of things tonight. First of all, I want to look at a warning, a failure of forgetting and not giving thanks. Because this will be done by tomorrow by a lot of people and is done every day. Not a failure to give thanksgiving. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, nor gave thanks. People, we need to give thanks that He's God. We need to give thanks that He's in charge. Whatever goes on in America, whatever goes on in your own personal life, we've got to give thanks. You're God. You're in control. All things are under your control. Things happen good or bad in our life. Thank God He's in control. Whatever happens, we've got to be able to have that attitude. But let's see what happens if you don't. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But instead of not honoring Him and forgetting to honor Him, they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. That's what's happening in America. It's a darkened world again, darkened continent, a darkened nation. People have forgotten to give thanks. I had fun today, just running a couple of errands, and people say, I say, a happy Thanksgiving to you, and please be thankful to the Lord. And most of the people I said it to just looked at me. I mean, they just, yeah. One good old black gentleman at Sam's, he said, absolutely, I owe him everything. I said, me too. You have a good day tomorrow. But look at what happens. They forgot to give thanks. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. I wonder how many people will eat tomorrow and not give thanks to God. I wonder how many people eat every day. Just forget tomorrow. But every day, not give thanks to God. And for challenge for us, 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Everything. Good, bad, or indifferent. And you know, sometimes the indifferent is difficult too. We give thanks to God when good things, and maybe when bad things happen, He's rattled our chains, and we realize He's in control, we give thanks. But just day in and day out, boredom. They don't give thanks in everything. Give thanks. Why? This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Let's look at Psalm 92:1. Psalm 92:1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praise to Your name, O High, O Most High. Now, we'll look at this verse again Sunday, maybe not this Sunday, but one of our Sundays at Colossians 3:18, where we talk about we're to admonish one another. And we're going to have in hymns and psalms, in hymns and sacred songs. And so we're going to have to see what the difference between is between a psalm, a hymn, and not just songs, but spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. And I'm going to point out, in the 50s, I don't know what they listen to today, but we had some beautiful, beautiful songs exalting females, women, like Nat King Cole's Unforgettable. Just some beautiful songs. Well, that's why he had to add spiritual. Not those kind of songs in a church. That's, you know, after hours. But this is for the church. This would be spiritual songs. So here in Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And then let's close looking at Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord. This is God the Father. For He is good. For His loving kindness, Kesed, is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, His love is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord, that you and I, say, His love is everlasting. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large, safe place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear what man can do to me. Jesus Christ, thank the Lord that He answered His prayer. We're to thank the Lord He answers our prayer. So verse 6 again, the Lord is for me. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in the government and princes. People, even, you know, I love Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump, but they're human beings. Don't put your faith in them. Don't put your trust in them. It's better to take refuge in the Lord. He's not going to be fickle. It's going to be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Verse 10. All nations surrounded me in the name of the Lord. I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. Just picture what's going on there. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. It's going to become very important Sunday morning where we're to admonish one another in hymns and spiritual hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation, my deliverance. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Valiantly. I will not die, but live, and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, and He will discipline us for sin. But He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. That's what Christ did. That's what you and I should do. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my deliverance. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do deliver, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has given us light, ultimately Jesus Christ. Bind the festival, sacrificed with gourds to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. Why do we give thanks to him? He's our God. You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer. We do give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, and we praise you for the God you are, compassionate, merciful, gracious, loving, righteous. We praise you, Father, that you know everything that happens to us. Not a hair falls from our head that you're not aware of it. What an awesome God you are. I thank you tonight, Heavenly Father, for Spring Valley Bible Church. I pray, Father, you will continue to use this assembly to sing your praises, to spread your word. We're so thankful for this assembly. Thankful for the opportunities that you've given to us. We're thankful to Jim Langston, who gives his time unselfishly, even when he doesn't feel well, getting your word out. How grateful we are. Father, we're just thankful for the opportunity we have and the short time that we have on earth to get your word throughout the world. And we pray, Father, you will continue to use this assembly. And we thank you so much for the answered prayers. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.